After an awesome move of God this morning, this is an answer to God's heart, I believe. It's an answer to prayers. It's what we need. It's what we need. And in God's outpouring, as I said earlier, the devil fights harder. And so I believe that this morning I'm going to deliver this word because I believe it's instruction for us to stay on the right track. One of the enemy's tactics in our life is conflict. And Satan can use conflict in our life to where we're always in defense mode. We're always expecting something. We're always we're right, ready. We get up, ready to fight. And a spiritual fight, spiritual warfare is one thing, but it's another thing when we're fighting against brothers and sisters, fighting against maybe our enemies. We're always spending our time in conflict with someone rather than following through on spiritual warfare in God's way. And so I hesitated during the worship, during our time of worship together, but I want to cut through right to the word. I believe that this is a foundation, I believe, as we continue the series. That's beside the point today. As we continue, I believe in what God wants to say. It's a warning to us about conflict. When we want to draw closer to God, when we want to see God, when we want to experience what God wants, there's always, the devil's going to come at us with some sort of conflict, some sort of issue, some sort of problem. And I want to talk about that this morning. Colossians 3:23 says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, not to men." There are four causes of conflict. There are four causes of conflict. The first one is poor communication. Communication is important with our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. Now, it would be one thing if God said, "Okay, Mike, I'm going to put you on this earth right by yourself. Go at it, bud. Go get it." But he didn't. So then it will be me and God. Well, even Adam and Eve was here, and they had conflict. So our human tendency is to have conflict. When there's two people with two opinions, two ideas, even though we think we're on the same page, there can be conflict. And we need to recognize that many times a conflict is started by poor communication. We first got to have communication with God for clear communication. And when we hear his voice, then we can communicate one to another. I love what Pastor Tim said a while ago. It's through unity. God wants us to be in one mind and one accord. That's how the revival of Acts happened. How? There were 120 in a room, and they were in one mind and one accord. That doesn't mean that we agree on everything. That just means that we're not in conflict. We're not in battle. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. But it's a spiritual warfare. The things that you're seeing, the things that is happening in your life right now, whether it's finances or health or relationships, all those things are tools that the enemy wants to try to destroy you, to hinder you, to discourage you, and to cause conflict in your life. And so poor communication, number one, with God leads us right into conflict. It leads us into conflict with one another. Conflict is a tool of the enemy. Psalm 141:3 says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth." The first sign of conflict, what do? We go to the Lord. We're not to try to work out a conflict with each other and say, "Well, I'm going to tell him what I think." That's our human tendency I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. I'm going to tell him, I'm going to work out this conflict all right. But if we go to the Lord first, the Bible says, "Set a guard, O Lord, on my mouth." That's where conflict starts. When I say something, I can either speak peace or I can speak conflict. Y'all hear me? It goes on to say that keep watch over the doors of my lips. Obviously, back in Psalm, David, when he wrote this, obviously conflict was an issue. Conflict's always been an issue. It was an issue with Adam and Eve, and it continues to be an issue. Conflict. Conflict will cheat us out of the revival that God wants to bring in our lives and in our church. So we've got to see that the onset of conflict, where it begins, we've got to go to God first. Set a guard, O God, over my lips, over my mouth. The second cause of conflict is unfulfilled expectations. I expect this to happen. I expect that to happen. And when it doesn't, then conflict develops. It's when things aren't done my way and I want them done my way, then it's unfulfilled expectations. That's where anger begins. Anger begins with unfulfilled expectations, and then that turns into conflict with people. James 4:1-2. I believe this is more than a series, more than part four of the series. I believe that this is really good fundamental teaching, I believe, from the Word of God for us to see how the devil will fight and to be on guard. James 4, 1 and 2 says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Where do they come from? It doesn't come from God. Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? It's a battle going on within us. You lust, which is a great desire, a great want. It's not just a sexual lust. It's also lust for money, lust for things, lust for your way, and lust. It's a desire or want, something that I want. And it says you do not have. You murder and you covet. You cannot obtain. You fight and you war. Yet you do not because you do not ask. You don't go to God first. See, we can't expect people to fulfill our expectations. Only God can fulfill our expectations. Only God can fulfill the desires of our hearts. It's not that our desires necessarily are wrong many times. It's just that we're going to the wrong place, the wrong source to get our desires filled. God says, come to me, go to me. The third cause of conflict is despising differences instead of appreciating differences that we may have. See, we're all different. We've got our fingerprint is different. Our personalities are different. Our talents are different. Imagine a Georgia football team with nothing but quarterbacks. Imagine the Patriots with nothing but quarterbacks. They wouldn't be the team they are. There's appreciation in differences rather than despising differences. Working as a team, that means we all have different talents and abilities and input that we can come together and enjoy one another and enjoy the differences that we do have. Don't despise them, but appreciate them. Many times in marriages, the very thing that drew you to her, drew you to him, is the thing that you wind up despising. I hate that about him. Well, wasn't he that way when you married him? Wasn't she that way when you married her? You know, so opposites attract, as the old saying goes. So we need to appreciate the differences that we see in each other and not despise those differences. Mark 3:25 says, and if a house is divided against itself, it cannot. It didn't say it may not. It says it cannot stand. When you're divided against yourself, you can't stand. There's no foundation there. There's no stability there. Take it to God first. And, of course, an obvious one. Cause of conflict is our sin nature. That was Adam and Eve's problem, their sin nature. They had something that they wanted. So our sin nature, many times, gets in the way of us having peace and having understanding and being able to work with one another. And if we're not careful, that sin nature takes precedence over what God wants in our life. My way, and I want it right now. Romans 3:23 says, we've all sinned. Every one of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So see, there's conflict and there's possibilities and there's causes of conflict, but how are we to deal with that? I want to give you some solutions to dealing with conflict in your life. There's a story about Jacob. Everybody's heard the story of Jacob, but there's a story in Genesis. It starts in chapters 28 and 29, and Jacob finds this girl that he loves, and he loves her, and he wants to marry her. So the right thing for Jacob to do concerning Rachel is to go to Rachel's father. So he goes to Rachel's father and says, hey, I want to marry your daughter, and I really like her a lot. I love her, and I want your permission to marry her. I think that was very noble of Jacob to do that. Well, when he goes to Liam, Rachel's father says, well, in order to have her, you've got to work for me for 7 years. So Jacob said, great, I love her that much. She's the love of my life. I'll be glad to work for you for 7 years. So 7 years pass, and he marries Rachel. Well, the honeymoon that night, didn't find out till the next morning that the dad, Liam, sent Leah in to be with him that night, not Rachel. Well, that's a sermon within itself. He didn't even know it until the next morning. And come to find out, Leah's not as pretty as Rachel. And so when Jacob rolls over and sees Leah in his bed, he says, you know, what's the deal here? So he goes to Liam, Rachel and Leah's father, and says, you know, our agreement was that I was going to marry Rachel, right? And she was going to be with me. We're going to be husband and wife. What happened? He said, well, it's customary that Leah being the oldest, that we need to marry her off first. So that there's your wife. He said, but you can have Rachel if you work for me for 7 more years. And so Jacob said, you know, I really, really wanted to marry Rachel and have her as my wife, so I'll work for you for 7 more years. Well, that turned out to be 20 years. He works for Liam for 20 years, and it's just trouble on top of trouble. Things didn't work out, and Liam took advantage of Jacob. So Jacob gets all the stuff together loads his stuff in the truck and gets his wives, and he gets out of town. And so then he hears that Laban's on his trail. And so can you imagine all the turmoil going on in Jacob after all this stuff, 20 years here, and he's still really not getting his way. And so he's really finding his expectations to come from Liam to satisfy his desires, until Jacob comes to himself and says, maybe God's trying to do something in me. Maybe there's something that God wants to speak to me about. And so we find in Genesis chapter 31 and verse 46, it says, then Jacob said to his brethren, gather stones. Now, when you think of stones, you think of something you're going to pick up and throw at somebody. But Jacob says, let's gather the stones. And so he took the stones, the Bible says, in verse 46, and made a heap. And they ate there on the heap. He made an altar before God. The very stones that what I believe resemble and symbolize our hate, our disappointments, our discouragement, all these things in life that we find that really are working against us, if they would just do what they're supposed to do. Has everybody ever said that? If they would do what they're supposed to do, my life would be happy. If they would just do what they told me they were going to do, things would be so good. If they would just fulfill their obligation that they made, well, see, then Jacob has his whole life tied up in what Liam did or didn't do, rather than what God is trying to do. So Jacob came to understanding, well, maybe there's something that God wants to do in my life. So he gathered stones. And I believe that each one of those stones, as they gathered them up, they were going over what this means to me. This stands for my forgiveness, my love, and my devotion to God. And what's God trying to speak to me? And build that altar. All those things and all those issues that could have changed, they were at the control of man. They didn't change. And so I'm going to lay it on the altar before God, and I'm going to say, God, come do a work in me. Come see what you want to do in me. That's where revival starts. As I said a while ago, it starts with me. It starts with you. You know, we can come together, and we will, and we are, continue to come together now over 9 years. And we're going to see God do something great, but it's got to start in me first. I've got to build that altar, all those disappointments, all those things that I said, well, why isn't that 900-seat Family Life Center built yet? He says, Mike, listen, there's something I want to do in you first. There's an altar that I want you to build first. And so I take my eyes off of the things that can and cannot happen, off the issues that the daycare center should have been started years ago, and it's tied up in Glenn County, jumping hurdles and red tape and all the blah, blah, blah. You know, all those things can affect me negatively, or I can say, God, you know what? I'm going to serve you anyway. I'm going to let you handle all those things, and I'm going to continue to serve you. And so as we serve God, then God decides he's going to do some things in my life that has to be done before he does his work. See, God wants to change people, but he's going to change circumstances in your life. He's going to bring things about in your life, but he's many times going to cause a change in you first. He's going to cause a change in me first before he brings that about. There's something greater that God wants to do. All those issues, all those hurts, all that conflict, can you imagine where Jacob was? Well, see, God says in his word that he's going to cause a river in the desert, in the dry place in your life. God can cause that when we look to him to bring that peace and that joy and the fulfillment in life. It's only found in him. It's not based on the actions of somebody else. Well, if you'll do that, I'll be happy. It doesn't stop there, does it? Our peace has got to be found in God. Our conflict has got to be resolved in God. If we ever put people priority over God, then that's our first mistake there. I expect people to fulfill my peace. I expect people to do something to fulfill my peace. That's actually putting more priority on their actions than God's action. God doesn't want that. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. See, if Christ lives in me, then things are going to be a lot different. Christ didn't do what he did in life based on other people's actions. If he had, he'd have never gone to the cross. He did it based on his Father's instruction. Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved and gave himself for me. Jacob gathered the stones. The stones of hurt, I believe, disappointment, anger, conflict, and made an altar to God. So if we want to resolve these conflicts, we need to choose to act and not react. We need to choose to act out of God's word and not out of our feelings. See, our feelings are very confusing. Well, that's the way I feel. Well, many times the way we feel should not be justified. We can't justify our actions by the way we feel. We need to respond and not retaliate. Respond and not retaliate. Retaliate is a term that you use when you're going to war with somebody. I'm going to get back at them. I'm going to get them back. I'm going to retaliate for what they've done to me. Ephesians 4:26 and 27 says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." If we react, if we retaliate, then there's a place that we give the devil. And we can't have the peace of God as long as we're giving place to the devil. The two can't coexist. The second thing is focus on the good things in the situation. Focus on the good things in others. There's always good in every situation. The good may be God's changing my heart. He's changing my perspective. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are good, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Now, some people today would call that positive thinking. Call it what you want, but we're to think on good things. Why? Because our thoughts bring about our actions. Our thoughts will either cause us to be on the offense or be on the defense. What I meditate on will actually cause and bring out actions, whether they are good or whether they're bad. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." It's the peace of God that comes through that will guard our hearts. In other words, it will cause us not to see those things as they are, but to see them as though they were. To see things through the eyes of Christ. Because if we always look at things the way they are, we become discouraged. We base our life on those things that we see. Well, we don't have to have faith to live by that. There's no faith required if we're going to base our life on what we see. But it's when we base our life on the things that we don't see is when we have faith in God. And he says that he'll give us the peace of God that passes all. We don't understand God's peace. It will guard our hearts and our minds so that we think like Christ. We can see through those things and see what God wants to do. Bring the peace of God. And then thirdly, apply God's grace to others. The same grace that saved me is the same grace I should give others. Many times, I want you to pay the price for your actions. Now, I don't want to pay the price for my actions. But I expect you to pay for the price for your actions. That's not giving God's grace, is it? The same grace that I received, I should give that same grace. It's like forgiveness. The Bible says that I can't be forgiven until I first forgive. And so God gives us these things so that we can give it back out. I should extend the same grace to you that God has given me. And man, that's a whole bunch of grace. Without the grace of God, I'm not standing here today. It's because of the grace of God that I'm here, that you're here. And we should extend that same grace to others. If there's any answering for stuff, it should be with God. You don't have to answer to me. Hey, we're in this together. But we should extend the same grace given to us. Romans 12:19 through 21 says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves." Don't feel like you've got to make yourself feel better or make someone else pay for what's been wrong to you. Hey, if you're living this life any amount of time, you're going to see that some people just are wronging you just for the fun of wronging you. If they can get your goat, they'll get your goat and maybe two. Don't take matters in our own hands. Do not avenge yourselves, the Bible says, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine." That's the Lord speaking. "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. "Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him." Well, now that's going a little too far. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. If we remember God's grace to us, it'll be easy for us to give it out. This is one of the foundations of revival starting in our lives. Like Pastor Tim said, repentance, repent. God, I repent of that wrong thing. And one of the repentance that we need to make today is, God, forgive me of being in conflict with the one who's wronged me. God, forgive me. Yeah, I've been disappointed. I've been discouraged. People have taken advantage of me like Jacob. Liam took advantage of Jacob, and he had some good, cheap labor for 20 years. And he dangled his daughter over it just to get Jacob to come along. Here's your carrot, so you just keep going. And then eventually I'll give. So we have things in life that happen. Things are going to happen. That conflict will happen on its own, but it's our choice how we react to that thing and allow God for us to overcome. That's one of the things that I believe God's speaking to us. God's bringing revival. God's going to bring just a powerful move that we've never seen before. And we're on the East Coast. It doesn't matter where on the East Coast it's going to happen. We're on the East Coast. So the church, capital C, is God's kingdom. And so we're part of God's church. So it may not be just St. Simon's. We may be a link of what God is doing. But we're part of the church. We're part of God's church. God established this church for a reason. God established this church for such a time as this. Everything that's transpired, God has not wasted one little thing. Not one little moment. All the history and time has built up and has come to this point for such a time as this. There's about to be some breaking loose. There's about to be some great things happen. But in doing that, we must stay rooted in Jesus Christ. In doing that, we've got to realize that the devil is going to fight like never before. And not to be discouraged by the things that may happen, may transpire. But to be encouraged because you know God is greater than the things that you see. We're not to be in conflict with one another. We're to stick close to God. So I want us to stand up this morning. Let's stand up together. And as we stand up, just think of those things. You don't have to speak them. Yeah. Come on up. You don't have to speak those things out right now. It's between you and the Lord. Just these next few moments. I believe God has done a great thing, but I feel like in the middle of that this instruction from the Word of God will help us to grow stronger. It'll help us to be aware of what God is doing in the midst of what the devil's trying to do. Amen? So let's stay tuned into Him. But I want us to do what Jacob did. And Jacob, he gathered the rocks. I want us to gather the rocks this morning. We're not going to throw them. We're going to build an altar. We're going to say, God, these things that are disappointing to me, those conflicts, those issues, those children that I want to come to you, those grandchildren that are doing the things that they're doing, this financial situation that's not going my way, this person in my life that's fighting me, whatever it is, just in your spirit, just gather those stones right now. If you want to come up here and just stand, if you want to come here and kneel, do what you need to in these next few moments. Let's gather the stones right now. Let's gather them up. If you want to come up and stand with me, come on. We're going to build an altar right here. We'll build an altar. Bring it up. Bring it up. Whatever those stones are, just in your heart, in your spirit right now, just bring those things to God. Just bring them up. There are situations that aren't pleasing to you. There are situations that you wish you had the power to change, but you can't. Not that the desires are wrong. It's just that who we're expecting to fulfill those desires. Build the altar. Build the altar. Jordan, lead us. And as we stand here this morning, I'm going to pray a final prayer in just a moment. But as we stand here this morning, we're building the altar. We're building the altar unto the Lord right now.